This is the BBC Across the South. My name is Adam Dowling, and this evening, a change to normal programming. We're paying tribute to Dave Cash, our friend, colleague, and mentor, who's died at the age of 74. What you're listening to is a documentary produced in August of 2014, looking back at Dave's 50-year career in radio.
Stand by for switching. Go!
He was the DJ who inspired DJs.
I actually can guarantee I wouldn't probably be in this industry if it wasn't for Dave. He's been trying to shake me off ever since.
The man with that voice.
You can just bet on it. 17 minutes! Just remember to breathe. Before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, the 8 o'clock alarm.
And he's still rocking and rolling 50 years on.
Gosh! Well, that was something else.
Right on!
I've never tried that before.
I'm Adam Dowling, just one of many people who've been lucky enough to work with Dave Cash over the years, and over the next 2 hours you'll hear Dave's story in his own words. The highs.
I said, hello, who are you? He said, I'm Morris Cole, they call me Kenny Everett. I said, I'm Dave Wish, they call me Dave Cash.
The lows.
And the doctor said, I would advise you not to go back to the ship, because he said, if it happens again, it could be fatal.
And all the fun in between.
I had a hit record. That was amazing, and the thing got in the top 10.
This is the story of Dave Cash. 50 years on. Dave was born in England, but he moved with his family to Canada while he was at primary school.
After the war, my father decided that he didn't go through the war, you know, and then he couldn't get enough food to feed us, because it was all rationed. And they were offering £10 to go to Australia or Canada in those days. And my mother's brother lived in Vancouver, so that was it. Off we went. First of all, I was on stage, and I was 18 years old, and I was always known as the boy with the funny accent, because I went to Canada when I was 5, came back to England when I was 11, went back to Canada at 16, so I was always the boy with the funny accent. And the Amdram Theatre Under the Stars in Vancouver, I knew one of the people who worked there, and they said, oh, you must play Professor Higgins in My Fair Lady, with your English accent, you'll see. So, and I still remember that, the big sort of thing, when he's trying to teach her how to speak properly. Shall I do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's hear that monologue.
Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? This verbal class distinction by now should be antique. If you spoke the way she does instead of the way you do, well, you might be selling flowers too.
I beg your pardon?
Well, an Englishman's way of speaking absolutely classifies him. As soon as he opens his mouth, he makes some other Englishman despise him.
Yay! Oh, fantastic!
Oh, great to relive that.
Brilliant. Well, it was something I never forgot for some reason. I guess the first one you don't forget. And then I was doing my apprenticeship, as we all do. It doesn't change much after all this time. I was working with a guy, unpaid, you know, just volunteering, called Red Robinson at CFUN in Vancouver. And I said, I want to be a disc jockey. He said, well, you better come and sit down and watch. So I did that for a while, and then I progressed to rip and reading, which is what used to do with the half-hour news bulletins off the line in those days. And then there was this little job came up in CJV in Port Alberni, which nobody had ever heard of the station or the place, the Holiday Relief. And that's where I went on August the 15th.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
Dave Cash. 50 years on.
The first record I ever played was Rock Around the Clock, and the first time I ever got into trouble was my first link.
You got in trouble straight away?
Straight away, because I went on and said, it's 12 o'clock, or is it? It's more like
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
The program director said, just stick to the station announcement. And that was 2 weeks, and I didn't get any other work from them, but I did get an audition tape, which I could then take elsewhere.
You ended up on Radio London.
Yes.
Tell us the story of how you got there.
My dear friend Bill Street, who I still speak to weekly on the phone, he lives on Vancouver Island, he's retired now. And we were mates since we were 16. And he'd come back to England chasing a woman at Selville. He married her and had 5 kids with her, so it was all right. But he sent me what was very high-tech in those days. It was a telegram. And he said, because he knew I had a British passport, get yourself to England. We all listen to the pirate radio stations now. They're absolutely great, and they could use your help. Get to England now. And so I sold my car, and I got the plane fare, and I came over to England. and I arrived on Christmas Eve, 1964, and the day after Boxing Day, we decided that he only knew where Radio Caroline was. He only knew Radio Caroline, because London only started for a couple of weeks. We were walking up Curzon Street, again, luck played a part, or the spirits, however you like to see it. It started to pour down with rain, and I had my audition tape wrapped. I didn't want to get it wet, you know, so I jumped. There was this door that was open, so I went into the open door in order to keep dry, and it had Radlon sails on the door, and I heard this booming Texas voice saying, "What are those DJs doing? They're just wrecking my top 40 format. Doesn't anybody know top 40 format?" And so, you know, when you're 22 and looking for a job, I opened the door and I said, "Yes, I know. Who are you? Are you some kind of DJ from the ship?" I said, "No, I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, but I work top 40. And we pulled alongside Radio London on the stern of the ship. And as I said, being in naval school, I was waiting for the bosun's chair. And I said, "You know, where's the bosun's chair? Where's it, you know?" And the captain said, "No," he was Dutch. And he said, "No," he said, "we have no chair. We go alongside, and when the ship's a level, you jump."
So, what were your first memories of Radio London? I mean, what were your first impressions?
Well, first of all, it was December, so it was pretty rough out there, anchored 3 miles off Frinton, and within sight of Radio Caroline South. I mean, we had the same tender. We used to share the same tender. And I just thought, wow, it's a converted minesweeper, so it's all metal. It wasn't a very comfortable ship. And I remember Ben Tony had given me these tapes to take out to the ship, and he said in his big, booming Texas voice, "Y'all take this out to the ship, and you listen to those guys, listen to these tapes, and you do it like these guys do it." So we all had to change our names, because it couldn't be the same as the passport. And my name was David Wish. Ben asked me, "Who's your favorite singer?" And I said, "Johnny Cash." And he said, "Great, you're Dave Cash now."
Great.
That was it. So I went up there, and I saw this guy huddling, being very ill, because the ship was going up and down at a heck of a pace. And I said, "Hello, who are you?" He said, "I'm Morris Cole. They call me Kenny Everett." I said, "I'm Dave Wish. They call me Dave Cash." So he said, "Wow, what have you got there?" And I said, "I've got tapes from KLIF in Dallas, from Ben Tony. He wants everyone to listen to them." So he said, "Come on then." And all of a sudden he got well. You know, "Let's go down the studio." So we went and we laced these tapes up. And one of the shows was a double show in the morning, Charlie Brown and Irving Harrigan. And they were very funny. They were very amusing. And they had mini mobile unit number 1129, Dallas, you know, that sort of thing. And he listened to him and he said, "Can you write anything as funny as that?" Because I told him, he said, "What, do you want to be a DJ?" I said, "Well, yeah, that and a writer. I'd like to be a writer one of these days." And so he said, "Can you write anything as clever as that?" I said, "I can try."
Dave Cash, 50 years on. I'm not content to be with you in the day. Dave Cash, 50 years on.
Now, really, it's all unscripted, and we had a real ball. And don't forget, just name the Beatles songs that we played within the last half hour. You can win yourself
help
albums and
help
books for nothing.
You can also win Dave Cash if you try hard enough. I'm trying to get rid of him, I tell you.
We've got to talk about these jingles, because you don't get that kind of jingle anymore, do you?
No, they were done by Pacific American Music Systems in Dallas. They were called PAMS for short. And they did jingles for the whole of American radio. I don't know how many hundreds of stations they did jingles for. And the package came with the ship, because the ship came out of Galveston. And they sailed it up to England. And the people who ran Radio London were radio savvy. And they knew that if they put really sharp jingles on the air, that would attract listeners. And it did.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
This is Dave Cash, 50 years on, a documentary produced 2 years ago to mark Dave's 50-year milestone in radio.
Johnny and Cash's first disc coming to your radio screen soon.
And a great big yearn.
We were at the marquee and we told everybody about knees. They just went crazy, didn't they?
Oh, they did. They did. They went completely nuts. All they did was just stood there in the audience and shout.
Guys, what do you got to do to get rid of these people? Can I continue?
Yes, continue.
Oh, thank you. I would like to thank Vivian Engelberg, I think it is, or Engelberg. It says, "Dear Kenny and Cash, I sent you this license to help you drive the other DJs mad and take complete control of Radio London."
Madam, take your needle off this record immediately.
What Dave Cash and Kenny Everett went on to produce on weekday mornings, the Kenny and Cash Show, is regarded now as the most successful pirate radio show of all time. They're arguably the most famous duo in radio history. And they even had their own single out, Knees, complete with its own B-side, called The B-Side.
What is this music they're playing?
It's the Kenny Cash theme, you see. It's something to put on the B-side.
Excuse me for being ignorant.
I always do.
Yes. What is a B-side?
Well, you see, it's the other side of the record, the one no one ever plays. You know that one?
Just one thing.
What?
If nobody ever plays it, why are we making it?
But have you no respect for tradition, lad?
I suppose somewhere deep down.
Okay, well, this is tradition. Yes, I wonder why they call it the B-side.
B was convenient.
Yes. All right, let's try word association. How about C-side, you know?
True. The C-side.
The beach.
The sandy shore.
Oh, my gosh. How about on the S-side?
From the musical S-Side Story.
Yes, not bad. How about the N-side?
Do you know anything about our next release?
Well, I've only got the N-side information.
D-side.
Decisions.
They could have called it the eyesight.
What? The eyesight?
Yes.
Oh, really? Quotation from a critic?
Go on.
The trouble with the Kenny Cash record is that their eyesight is terrible.
You mean we should wear glasses?
Yes. How about the R-side?
I think there's those soldiers over there. Are they on our side?
Oh, no. This is terrible. We're nearly on the end of the track, old girl.
Thank you. Let's do a terribly old corny joke about falling down the hole in the middle.
No.
We loved Doctor Who, and there was no iPlayer in those days. So if it was on during the time Kenny and I were on, we'd pre-record the half hour, you know, and run up and watch it. And so he said, let's do a space story. So I'd written, I don't know, 20 or 30 sketches, what could happen in space. But we had no name. The only thing we could think of was Dr. Watt. And that didn't work. You know, it was pretty naff. And then one day this tape arrived from a guy called Gary Owen, who used to be on the Rona Martin's Laugh-In. He was the guy that used to go, meanwhile, in another part of town.
Right.
And he did that, and he sent this tape over with a note saying, you guys are pushing the boundaries, keep pushing. If any of this can be of any use to you, please feel free to use it. And it was all his voice. So we were really excited, and we went downstairs, looped it up, and the first one was called Show Opener.
Right.
And it was in his voice, if I can get anywhere near it, and he said, this program is brought to you by the Kremen Snuff Company, who invite you to stick their business up your nose. And after we finished laughing, we both looked at each other and said, Captain Kremen and the Krells. And that was the beginning of it. For goodness sake, I got
the hippie shade. The BBC across the South.
50 years on. So we've reached 1965 now, and Dave Cash is presenting The Breakfast Show on Radio London with his mate Kenny Everett. While all of this was going on, one aspiring presenter was listening in, rarely missing a show. A man who'd go on to become a pirate radio legend in his own right. Roger Day.
Quite frankly, they were some of the best radio programmes I have ever heard. To this day, they've never been beaten. Because they just... There's a lot of radio stations that force people to do double-headed shows, as we know. And sometimes it works. Quite often it doesn't. You can't force people to get it. It's that natural thing. And Dave and Kenny had that natural ambience between them, as if they could read each other's minds. Some of the funniest radio that I have ever heard on a wonderful radio station. And, of course, he is one of the great broadcasters of Britain. It's natural to him. You know, people suss out false broadcasters, and you don't last very long, you know, because the radio is a great detector of insincerity. And Dave is a very sincere broadcaster. He's got that wonderful warmth and sense of humour. The only thing wrong with him is the football team he supports, of course, with absolute nonsense, but there you go. I actually can guarantee I wouldn't probably be in this industry if it wasn't for Dave, because I met him at the Marquee Club in London, where Radio London used to do Saturday afternoon onshore discos and had guest groups and everything, and I knew they were going to be there. And it coincided with my 21st birthday. So I went up there with my girlfriend at the time, hoping to meet some of the disc jockeys from the ship. I desperately wanted to be on the pirate stations. And I happened to meet Dave in the bar. Now, that's a surprise. I said, you know, I'm the disc jockey. I said, any vacancies on the ship? And he said, well, actually, he says, you haven't got any radio experience, have you? I said, no. He said, look, I could do you a favour. He said, there's a new radio station starting very soon. And some of the guys used to involve Radio London. They've had an argument. They're setting up their own radio station called Sweden Radio England. He said, they've only flown in today. He said, and they're staying at the Hilton. So I suggest you go around and see them. You'll probably be the first to land on the doorstep. I went around to see them. They gave me the job. So you can blame Dave Cash for my career. If you don't like Roger Day, he's the man to blame. But I shall always be grateful because, I mean, it was a lovely thing to do, to point me in the right direction. And I've always been very grateful for it. And he's been trying to shake me off ever since. The one record I shall always associate with Kenny and Dave Cash is Concrete and Clay from the Unit 4 Plus 2, because I think they, above anybody else, are responsible for that being a hit. You to me are
sweet as rose. In memory of Dave Cash, who's died at the age of 74. This is a special documentary looking back at more than 50 years of his broadcasting career.
What did it feel like as the stations were becoming more and more popular, and of course they eventually took over radio listening in the mid-60s, to know that you were essentially breaking the law? What did that feel like?
Great. I loved it. I've always been a little bit of a rebel from the first link, and I think that it just felt great. We didn't really worry about getting arrested and stuff like that, because the customs weren't supposed to allow people in with stage names like Dave Cash, but they would let in David Charles Wish. See, no problem at all. And you know, we're supposed to be different people, and then they would say, as we were going out, oh, by the way, can you play this for my girlfriend?
This is wonderful Radio London, where you're hearing things.
Oh, you do it so beautifully, but you do it.
What about the connection between the various pirate stations? Was there a rivalry?
Oh, yes, on the air, definitely. Between all of them. Off the air, different ballgame altogether. Because we all used to, well, Caroline in London anyway, we used to drink at the Red Lion behind Curzon Street. And the thing was that we were always paid on time. We were very lucky from that area. And we'd come on Tuesday afternoon to the office, and they would say, right, you've had 2 weeks and you're 1 week off. Here's your money. Here's your chit, rather. And you go across to the bank and you get the money. Well, Radio Caroline was a little more loose than that. And it was all right if Ronan O'Reilly showed up and paid them, you know. Otherwise, they would have no money. And we used to go around there, and Johnny Walker would say, can you lend me a fiver? I said, okay. Of course, you could go out a whole night on a fiver in those days. So I'd lend him a fiver, and then, you know, as we're going back on the ship, they say, here's your fiver back, you know.
What strikes me listening to some of these old clips is that more so than probably anyone on the radio now, you are having a really good time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But it's a full circle now, because on listening, I feel that the one group of stations that do what we used to do on the pirates is BBC Local. And the big difference is we talk to people, not at them.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
The BBC across the South.
Woke up this morning feeling fine.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
I was ashore one time in January 67, and all of a sudden, my kidneys just went, oh, I had the most incredible pain. And my girlfriend at the time, Dawn, she just said, we've got to get you to the hospital. And we got to the hospital, and they said, oh, it's kidney, we've got to take you to Fulham Hospital right away, as it was then. So off we went to there. And they said, oh, you've got kidney stones, and we have to operate. And that was it. They operated, and they took out the kidney stones. And they said, okay, we've got it on time, but we have decided that you got this from lime deposits in the drinking water on board the ship.
Right.
You see, which I guess makes sense. The thing's a pretty old ship, you know. And, you know, today you'd have sued them for a few million pounds, wouldn't you? But in those days, oh. And the doctor said to me, he said, I would advise you not to go back to the ship. And I said, well, what do you mean not go back? He said, because he said, if it happens again, it could be fatal. So I had an agent at the time, we all did, a guy called Chris Pierce. And he said, don't worry, Dave, I was down, so upset about the whole thing. He said, I can get you on the light program. And he did. He got me a job called Monday Monday, which was a live show with Ray McVeigh and the Band of the Day. Another guy's still going now because he does the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Yeah.
But in those days, it was Ray McVeigh and the Band of the Day doing Strawberry Fields Forever and things like that, you know. And we were allowed one guest. And I was down in the Scotch of St. James one night, and Keith Richards was there. And he said, oh, he said, we love the Pirates, you're not on anymore. I said, no, medical reason. Listen, the Stones will come on if you want. So I was like over the moon.
Wow.
And I went to the producer, and I said, I can get the Rolling Stones on. No, you can't. Why? Well, there's five of them. What? Well, we've only got enough room for a duo or a trio at most if the drummer uses the band. We've got no microphone channels left. And then I went down to the Scotch again and met Chas Chandler, and he said, I've got this guy I'm bringing over from America. I brought over from America, rather. I said, how many in the band? He said, three. I said, ooh, where's the song? He said, it just entered the chart at 24. I said, right. So I went to my producer again, and I said, I've got a guy who's just been in the charts at number 24. I'd love to be a guest on Monday Monday. What's his name? I said, Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
And Hendrix went on, and of course during rehearsal he kept it turned down. But when he went on stage, full blast and playing Hey Joe. And after the show, the producer said to me, why didn't you tell me it's so loud? I said, you didn't ask. Hey Joe.
This is the BBC Across the South.
This is the BBC Across the South. My name is Adam Dowling, and this evening, a change to normal programming. We're paying tribute to Dave Cash, our friend, colleague, and mentor, who's died at the age of 74. What you're listening to is a documentary produced in August of 2014, looking back at Dave's 50-year career in radio.
The 14th of August, 1967, Marine Offences Bill. Never forget that day. And it was something that I wish I had been there at the time, but I couldn't get there. And I remember sitting in my car in Savile Row outside the police station and listening to Paul Kaye's final announcement. It's 3 o'clock and Radio London is closing down.
The girl time is 3 o'clock and Radio London is now closing down.
Played the day in the life, and that was that. And I had a little bit of a blub, and then I heard a knock on my window, and I looked up, and there was a policeman, because I was right outside the police station. I rolled down the window, and I said, I'm terribly sorry, am I not supposed to be parking here? And he said, no, sir, you're not supposed to be parking here. And I said, I'm sorry, the pirate radio stations have just closed down. All right, I know what you mean, but would you mind moving on? And that was it.
Right, he understood.
Yeah.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
I read the news today, oh boy.
The Marine Broadcasting Offences Act became law in the UK at midnight on Monday, the 14th of August, 1967. It remained law until 2006. Any British citizen working on board a pirate radio ship was now officially a criminal.
Radio London closed down just in time, but Radio Caroline continued, with Johnny Walker, one of the three men at the helm at midnight.
How was the plan to turn on that tape recorder to capture for all time the sonic moment?
This is Radio Caroline. It is now 12 midnight. Caroline would like to extend its thanks to Mr. Harold Wilson and his Labour government for at last, after over 3.5 years of broadcasting, recognizing this station's legality. It's right to be here. It's right to be broadcasting to Great Britain and the continent. It's right to give the music and service to the peoples of Europe, which we have been doing since Easter Sunday, 1964. And we, in turn, recognize your right as our listener to have freedom of choice in your radio entertainment, and of course that Radio Caroline belongs to you. And there are a lot of people along the coast tonight who are flashing their headlamps at us. Very, very nice to see you. You've made us more happy, and I couldn't think it was possible, but you have made us more happy than we are already.
6 weeks later, the BBC launched 4 new national radio stations, including their own pop station, modelled largely on Radio London. It was, of course, BBC Radio 1.
Stand by for switching. Get tuned to Radio 1 or 2. 5, 4, 3. Radio 2, Radio 1, go.
The voice of Radio 1. Just for fun. Music. Too much.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the exciting new sound of Radio 1. Yes, indeed, we've even got Arnold back. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first of the Tony Blackburn shows. I shall be waking up every morning, except Sunday, between 7 and 8.30. So let's away! If this one doesn't wake you up, then nothing will. This is number 3 this week in the Radio 1 Fun 30 from the movie score Flowers in the Rain.
Woke up one morning, half asleep, with all my blankets in a heap, and yellow roses scattered all around.
In memory of BBC Radio Kent's Dave Cash, who's died at the age of 74. This is a special documentary, looking back at more than 50 years of his broadcasting career.
Sort of most of the night prior to that. And I had the midday spin to do, on 1 and 2. Because a lot of the programs were duplicated, 1 and 2, in those days.
Right.
One of the funniest things was the first Saturday. And Emperor Roscoe had a show. From 12 to 2, and he was doing his thing, and myself and David Simons and Tommy Vance and Mike Ahern were all sitting in the club having a cup of coffee or something similar, and we were listening to Roscoe, and at the end of his show at 2 o'clock, he does his Roscoe thing, and he says, this is the Emperor saying, I'll see you next week, be there or be square, baby, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and off he goes, and the pips come up at 2 o'clock, right? And there's a slight gap after the time signal, and the continuity announcer says, it's 2 o'clock, and now here's the news in English. And we just fell about in the club. We thought that was the funniest thing. The continuity announcers didn't like us very much.
Dave Cash, 50 years old.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. You have, 'cause there's magic in life. 10 miles.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
1968.
Yes, it's number one. It's Top of the Pops.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, up from number 15 of last week to number 10 of this week, pictures of Max Tickman, The Status Quo. And when a group has an instant hit, it's very, very nice for them because they don't have to worry about selling records, and for disc jockeys because we know immediately to play it.
Amen Corner, and number 13 in our charts at the moment, called Bend Me, Shape Me.
So how
how did you take to TV then? How did you find it?
I prefer radio. But, you know, when you get a chance to do Top of the Pops, you don't say no. Mm. Definitely. And so that was very interesting.
Coming up in the second hour of the show, Dave has to make way for a new star.
They said to me, we want to try out this this new guy, and I'm afraid we're going to move you to the weekend. I said, who is this guy? He said, there's a guy from Ireland called Terry Wogan.
And he helps to launch one of the biggest commercial radio stations in the country.
A lot of people think the first guy I called was Kenny Everett, but he was the second. The first guy I called was Tommy Vance.
That's all coming up in hour two of Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out of tune? I'm on a child without tune.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
1969. I had a hit record. A chap who used to do our news called Pat Doody, he said to me one day, his son listens to Dad on the radio. I said, well, can you get a few bits and pieces from your son, who was then 3 years old, I think. And so he said, like what? I said, well, I'd like the Beatles or whatever. And so he said, okay. And he came back with, of course, the winning phrase of Groovy Baby. And then Chris Andrews, who, you know, was a songwriter and had a couple of hits himself, he came up and he said, I think that kid's amazing, and I've written a song. And I said, oh, well, you know, have you got, can we record it? How do we record it? He said, that's all right, I've done it. He said, I put it on the back end of a session, and the three singers that are doing the chorus are Madeline Bell, Dusty Springfield, and one other. I can't remember the third one's name, but they did it on the back end of a session. And he cut in all the little phrases.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
BBC Radio Kent.
Look it to me, baby.
This is the BBC Across the South, and my name is Adam Dowling. You're listening tonight to a change in regular programming. In Dave Cash's slot tonight, we pay tribute to our friend, our colleague, our mentor, Dave Cash, who died yesterday at the age of 74. This is Dave Cash, 50 Years On, a documentary produced 2 years ago to mark Dave's 50-year milestone in radio.
After 1969, one of the only shows, I think it was the only show I lost to somebody else, was the afternoon show. And they said to me, right, we want to try out this this new guy on the afternoon show, and I'm afraid we're going to move you to the weekend. I said, who is this guy? He said, there's a guy from Ireland called Terry Wogan. So I lost that show to Terry Wogan. And they gave me a show called Cash at Four. And they were grooming me for television. They said that. And I had Peter Sellers on. It was a chat show, right? I had Peter Sellers on. I had lots of people on. And that was fun in itself, but I didn't really enjoy it that much. And I thought, no, I couldn't. I don't really want to do this. I want to get back to studio radio. That's what I want to do. And the last guest I had on was Michael Parkinson. And Michael took the band and took it all to television.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
The BBC Across the South. Want some whiskey
in your water? Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
So many artists can say they owe Dave Cash a lot for helping them out early on, but one man who says Dave not only helped him on air, but also off air, is singer, songwriter and poet, Labby Siffrey.
I had a band, a trio. The bass player, our bass player, Chris, his girlfriend, worked in Dave's office. She gave Dave a tape of me. Dave had heard it and liked it. I was trying to get hold of me. We met. As you know, Dave, Dave's just a really nice bloke. He really is. I mean, he's just,
He really is. He's just a really nice bloke. And we got on immediately. And he introduced me to a publishing company. And through the publishers, I got a record deal. I think you could say that Dave discovered me. He was the one who really got me the recording deal. And then the first album came out in 1970. I'd like to say thank you. And I'd like to say I hope there's going to be another 50 years.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
The BBC Across the South.
I never thought I'd miss you half as much as I do.
This is Dave Cash, 50 years on, celebrating the golden broadcasting anniversary of the Cash Man.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
In the early 70s, Dave's Radio 1 show, Cash at 4, attracted some of the biggest names in the country, Spike Milligan, John Cleese and Peter Sellers. But Dave had plans to get his face back on the box.
I had an idea for television. I wrote the idea with Johnny Walker in mind to actually do it. Because the Monkees were hugely popular.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the Monkees are popular as long as the Monkees are popular. But DJs go on for much longer. So I'm going to do a day in the life of a DJ. And so I'd written two or three episodes, and I took it to NBC, who liked it, and took it to HTV, who liked it. And then Johnny went off to San Francisco to work, and they said, well, you'll have to do it. What? I was writing it and performing it as well. They called it the Dave Cash Radio Program. It was on TV for a season. Queen were given the thing of the first pop video, you know, with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm.
And a few people pointed out Cash was doing it 3 years earlier. Because it was the day in the life of a DJ, but it was interspersed. It was like Lynx. But the main thing was the music. And again, Chris Andrews was very... instrumental. He did Pretty Belinda. Was the first pop video we actually shot.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
She lived on a boat house down by the river. Everyone called her.
In memory of BBC Radio Kent's Dave Cash, who's died at the age of 74. This is a special documentary looking back at more than 50 years of his broadcasting career. At the start of the 70s, Dave was invited to help launch a radio station in a rather nice location, Monte Carlo.
Oh, that was fun. That was wonderful. This wonderful Frenchman, I don't know if he's still with us, called Maurice Gardet. And he was such a way-out character. He even ran for presidency of France at one time. And he had this idea of an English-speaking station from Monte Carlo, but it would beam into England on medium wave, a bit like Luxembourg. And he called it MCI, Monte Carlo International, and he hired me, Tommy Vance, and Kenny Everett. We did a lot of the shows from London, but then we also went down to Monte Carlo, and we had to sit in a penthouse apartment in Monte Carlo in the sunshine and do radio. Oh, my goodness.
What a bind.
What a bind, yes, exactly. And Tommy, he had... There was this balcony outside the place, and of course it was run by the station. They had a sign outside. Tommy and I were on the balcony playing chess. All of a sudden, whistles came up from the yacht club. Two young girls waving their hands like that at us. And, you know, do you guys want to come here, sort of thing, you know? So Tommy looked at me and said, beats the heck out of working for a living, don't it?
We're paying tribute to Dave Cash, our friend, colleague, and mentor, who's died at the age of 74. What you're listening to is a documentary produced in August of 2014, looking back at Dave's 50-year career in radio.
Yes, 1973, I was doing some work for the BBC. I was doing Up Country, which was live from the Nashville Rooms in West London. And then I had dinner with a songwriter and producer called Tony McCauley, who knew somebody who had got the franchise for the new London licenses. So I met up with him, and his name was Tony Vickers, and he was the sales director. And I walked into the office in Piccadilly, and he gave me a very warm greeting, and he said, I've heard what you do, and he said, I think that you know radio. And he said, really, our program director, who was Michael Butt, he'd come from television. So he was a good program director, but he didn't know who was what in radio at that time. So he said, I was the first guy they hired, and they asked me if I would put some suggestions forward. And so a lot of people think the first guy I called was Kenny Everett, but he was the second. The first guy I called was Tommy Vance. And we put together the commercials and all this kind of stuff. And then Michael, he had a great sense of humor, and he did something to me I'll never forget. He asked me if I would write the audition, because everybody had to pass the audition
right
in order to get on. And we're talking Nicky Horn, Roger Scott, you know, people like that, David Simons, all these people. And Tommy had to pass this audition. So I thought, oh, what a gas. So I wrote the worst audition you could ever think of. The song you had to hit the vocal for was Welcome Home, Peters and Lee, which is 3.5 bars, very hard, right? All these kind of things. And we had nothing to count down the time like we do these days, right? And so I had all this together. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get my own back on all these people, right? And so we're at the place where we're doing these auditions, and Michael Buck says, well, he said, Dave Cash has written this, and he said, we all want you to take it and pass it, but as Dave wishes to be on the air himself, I only think it's fair he does it first.
Ah!
Dear Michael, he's no longer with us, but he did some great stuff. And
how did you get on in that audition?
Yes, I passed it. Just, I think.
Welcome home. Welcome.
And that was it. And the other thing was, when I was hired and I was in, they said, can you come back for lunch? Because this was first thing in the morning. I said, oh, yes, I can. So I went and had a cup of coffee and whatever, and then came back for lunch. And all of a sudden, as I went into the Piccadilly office, the chairman of the board was there. And he, darlings, how good to have you on board. It was Sir Richard Attenborough.
Excellent.
And he was the chairman, and he was one of the nicest men ever in the entire world. He was wonderful. And Kenny called him Sir Dickie Poo. Right? And you'd think that most people would take exception to that when you're a knight of the realm. Not Dickie. He would come in and say, hello, darlings, Dickie Poo here. I'm going to do, you know, and I would do this, that, and the other. And he was lovely all the way through. And I only left Capital when he retired.
Let's relive some of your time at Capital. This is a little something that Kenny voiced up, which I really, really like.
It is generally accepted throughout the classical world that this piece of music was Mrs. Mozart's favourite. Some experts have even said,
oh, thank God.
Peter James, Capital's second poshest person and writer of the award-winning novel Rogue Puff, will be playing the entire concerto in Capital Classics at 6 on Sunday.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. And of course, so similar to what he was doing on the telly at that time as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, we just couldn't believe some of the jokes we played on each other were remarkable. And to this day, I think still with us, Ian Davidson. He was an Australian. And we used to call him Ian Davidson, right? And he used to put on a long record and go to the loo. And so the Beach Boys God only knows of about 3:40 or something like that. So he would nip out during that. And the engineers got a loop to put through the ring main. Didn't go out on the radio. And just as he got to the loo, right, where the ring main was, all he got was, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And he came running back doing up his trousers, you know. Then when he got in, he said, you guys have done that to me.
Dave Cash, 50 years on.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you.
My last track on the BBC I played, and I said, thank you, each and every one of you, and it was Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And then when we started Capital Radio, I said to Richard, I said, can we start with Bridge Over Troubled Waters? Good idea, darlings, good idea. And David Simons was on Breakfast, and then it was Tommy Vance and Joan Shenton. And then Michael said after about 6 months, he just said, listen, this is not working. He said, you know, Tommy and Joan, Tommy didn't want to do it anymore either. And so Tommy said, Michael said, what I'd really like is Mel Gibson. I can't get him. So he said, but I can get Michael Aspel. So he put Michael Aspel in 9 to 12, and he said to us, he said, I want Kenny and Cash on Breakfast. And that's how that worked out. After that, we used to have a news program at 1 o'clock, which died a death. Everybody listened to World at 1. And he said, we can't do this. He said, we can't compete. So he said, and it's very expensive, too, for that half hour of news, you know. He said, what I'm going to do, he said, I want you, meaning me, to go in there with something totally different, a quiz show. I'm going to call it Cash on Delivery, COD. And it took us 3 years to beat the ratings. We finally beat them. COD.
Here is David Cash. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Michael.
Tell us all about it.
Well, at between 12 and 12:30, the long version of American Pie.
How long is that?
I don't know. I haven't checked it. It's about, I think, 8 or 9 minutes, isn't it? How much? Geez, funny, I've got to count. 5, 6, 8. 8 minutes.
Wow. Gives you a nice rest, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
1976. Here we go again. It'll be mainly dry and sunny today. Clear periods tonight. Let's go down HQ Park. Hi, everyone. Oh, it's all too beautiful. All right. The small faces, Ichiku Park. Welcome to COD for a Thursday.
If my maths serves me well, you were responsible for about 2,000 commercials during your time at Capital.
Yes, yeah, because when we went on, Mike was program director, and they said, well, we need to give you a title to justify the huge amount of £3, four and sixpence we're paying you, so you'll become production director. So I'd made the jingles. Well, I hadn't made the jingles. I'd sorted the jingles out with Roger Cook and Roger Greenaway, and it was Blue Mink who did Isn't It Good to Know, Capital Radio. You know, the first set of jingles were made by Blue Mink and written by Roger Cook. And I did that, and then I just started making the commercials.
6 minutes past 12 o'clock, and as promised, Don McLean and American Pie. I haven't played it in yonks. Must be about 6 months now. And whenever we get a little gap, always like to throw it in because it's 8 minutes long, but it's well worth it. And if you are not a Don McLean fan or you haven't been initiated into this, the first part of it's about Buddy Holly dying, which is a little sad, but the rest of it is quite jolly, so have a nice listen.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. This'll be the day that I die.
You're listening to Dave Cash, 50 years on, and we've reached 1976, when Dave was the voice of London on the new commercial radio station, Capital Radio. But that was also the year that Dave's voice featured on one of the biggest cult movies of the decade, Quadrophenia.
Well, that was, again, if you throw back to the Pirates, we used to go to a club in Forest Hill. Can't remember the name of the club, but I remember it's in Forest Hill. And we heard The Who play live. And I was blown away. I thought, this is great. And I went up to Pete Townsend, and I said, have you got any records? He said, well, just cut this one and gave it. And I went, took it back to the ship, played it to Kenny. He said, yeah, baby, it's great. And so we made it a Kenny and Cash twin pick hit of the week, and it was Can't Explain. And so that sort of launched The Who. And Pete, bless him, he never forgot, because during the Sold Out album that they had a huge hit with, in between each track, he put a Radio London jingle. And when Quadrophenia came around, and there was the scene where they're going, he's going under his bed for the pills before he goes to Brighton, and there is a piece from the radio, and Pete said, I want Dave Cash to do that. This is Dave Cash on Radio London. The big story of the week is that Brighton has erupted again with fights between the mods and the rockers, and that was it. So it was just a voiceover, but it was great to be there.
This is the BBC Across the South.
This is the BBC Across the South, and my name is Adam Dowling. You're listening tonight to a change in regular programming. In Dave Cash's slot tonight, we pay tribute to our friend, our colleague, our mentor, Dave Cash. who died yesterday at the age of 74. This is Dave Cash, 50 Years On, a documentary produced 2 years ago to mark Dave's 50-year milestone in radio.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
I was lucky enough to be friends with Bob Marley because we had the same agency. He said to me the last time I saw him before he died, and it was at the office of Island Records, and we just kind of met up and had a chat. And I said, things are not looking good. He said, no, man. So I said, well, you know, is there anything I can do? So on and so forth. He said, yeah, man, keep on the good work. So here I am, keeping on the good work.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
BBC Radio Kent.
Dave Cash, 50 Years On.
Good morning. My name is Dave Cash, and this is Radio West.
There was a chance to become the launch director, if you like, of Radio West. And I'll never forget, because it saved my life in the end. John Whitney, who was our managing director at Capital Radio, when I had the chance to do this, I said, listen, I'm really going to have to leave Capital. I don't want to, but if I'm going to do this job, I'm going to have to do it. And so he said, well, you want to become management? You want? I said, well, I want to launch a station again. Yeah, I like doing that. So he said, okay. He said, but take my advice. He said, I know the people you're going to work with. Do not quit Capital Radio. I said, well, how am I going to do this? He said, we are going to give you the breakfast shows on the weekend. And we'll put you up in an apartment. You can come do that. Because he said, you only need Monday to Friday there. So I didn't realize what he meant until a year and a half down the line when it all blew up. And they knew that they were going to sell out. But it was great fun to launch. And again, Johnny Walker had come back from San Francisco. And so I brought him, and I found a guy called Nino Ferretta who went on to do Mr. and Mrs. And I think the best signing I ever had was I went to an Italian restaurant. And I saw this guy, and he was bigger than life. He was fantastic. And he was saying, oh, new radio station starting and all that kind of thing. I said, yeah. I said, do you want to come on and do a menu for, you know, recipes for ladies mid-morning? And this guy's name was Keith Floyd.
And then later in the 80s, you were the assistant to the MD, who you'd worked with before, of course, at launching another station, this time here in Kent.
This is Invicta Radio. And Michael Bucht had become, he'd done first of all the training school after Capital, and he made a great success of that. He called me up and he said, you fancy a job? And I said, what? And he said, I've got Roger Day working here. He said, program group. He said, be my assistant. I just need that Capital feel in again. And it was 1987. It was the year of the big storm.
Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
He said, right, let's go, everybody. And we slept at the station for 4 days. But we hit everything, army, police, ambulance, everything. We got everybody phoning in and helping everybody else.
Invicta Radio. We are the music in your life. Invicta Radio. 1987.
There was also a big anniversary. That was the 20th anniversary of Radio 1. And I've got a clip I want to play you here of you and the guys on another one of your former colleagues' TV shows.
Hi, the cringe. And later we'll be going over to BH, the Fun Factory, for a live look at Radio 1 today. As you can see, every expense has been spared to make this a night to remember. Pete Murray, David Simons, Ed Stewart and Dave Cash. They were all there in week one. They haven't faded yet. They're still good for a quick time check, a weather check, top 20 rundown, dedication for Tracy, and still play the next waxing without walking through the lyric. Looking on a day older, elderly ravers all of us.
No, thank you.
Yeah. You used to work in the afternoon.
Yeah, you took over from me. I got fired, you took over.
Yeah. I always feel that you must have said something.
I went the Bernard Herrmann in the NPO.
How do you feel that so many of your former colleagues now are sadly no longer with us? And more and more, you're marking the anniversaries of these things and you're reading how does that make you feel?
Well, I like country music, as you know. And there is a song by, I think it's Toby Keith, that says, All my buddies are dead. All my buddies are dead. And I feel a bit like that in a way. But, you know, we had some great times together. And I still miss Tommy and Micah Hearn especially. And, you know, we've had some wonderful times and we have some wonderful memories. And, of course, Kenny, you know, very sad. He died far too young. But, you know, I shouldn't have been living over 40. So what am I doing now? I don't know.
This is BBC Radio Kent with a change of programmes this afternoon in memory of BBC Radio Kent's Dave Cash, who's died at the age of 74. This is a special documentary looking back at more than 50 years of his broadcasting career.
BBC Radio Kent.
Dave Cash. 50 years on.
Throughout the 90s, while still working for Capital Gold, Dave became a part-time university lecturer in media studies and even found time to write three novels. And then in 1999, Dave started on the BBC in the South, his first regular show on the Beeb for over 30 years, broadcasting from BBC Radio Kent studios in Chatham and later Tunbridge Wells, a show he continues to do to this day, with Emily Email, the woman Dave calls his soulmate.
I've had three wives and one soulmate, basically, I say. And we've known each other for nearly 30 years. But when we first met, we knew, both of us. But I had a growing family. And one day she just left. She was gone, baby. That was it. And it wasn't when my best mate, Tommy Vance, died. I'd written the obituary for him. And she read it. And where she was working, the lady said to her, sitting next to her, "You still love him, don't you? Why don't you email him?" And she did. And that was 8 years ago now. And, yeah, we're still together and living very happily. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I mean, life is very sweet at the moment.
Cash's Classic Countdown. This is the BBC Across the South.
And a very good evening to you, and welcome to the chart of the 16th of August. 1969. Oh, what a year it was.
You're still discovering new music and sharing music with people that you love and, you know, introducing people to music. And I guess that never leaves you.
No, it doesn't. And you get a lot of stuff. I've just found a new band. And I went, wow, wow, wow. So I phoned home and I said, "I got Sunday's show done." And that was that. David Allan Coe and the Perfect Country and Western Song. I want to play some duets now. This is one called "It's Hard to Be an Outlaw When You're Not Wanted Anymore."
Does it feel like 50 years?
No, it doesn't. It feels like about 50 minutes. I don't really... Every piece of it has its good parts and its bad parts, obviously. And there were times when, you know, things weren't the best in the West. But 99.9% of the time they were great. I've made some great friends. Okay, a lot of them have passed along now. But I've got my soulmate with me. Don't need anyone else.
You
Oh, ain't that lovely. Whew, Patsy Cline and Crazy. And that just about wraps it up. Stay tuned, because Roger Twiggy Day will be here right after the 7 o'clock news. I thank you to Emily for a job well done in several voices.
I'll bring them back again.
Okay. And thank you, Ian, as well. Nice one, Cyril. Okay, going to leave you with a lady. Lady Antebellum, to be precise. Have yourself a wonderful week. See you next Saturday for 1970 and 1980, okay? And this is Lady Antebellum. And I need you now.